All right, y'all want to find a seat?
But glad you're here and appreciate you coming. We'll spend a few minutes together in the scriptures and see if we can't find something that'll lift everybody up this morning, okay? Let's lift one another up with some time together in the scriptures, all right? I love this time of year. I'm always motivated to go back and think again about what God has done for us in sending Christ in the flesh. Loving those passages, Phil, in Isaiah, where it says there won't be any more gloom. Put on the garments of praise. A son will be born to us. And the government's going to sit on his shoulders. And so I was reading this morning in Matthew, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest." He said, "You'll find rest unto your soul." So I'm going to minister on that for just a minute and go back and look at some of the promises of what God promised us in the person of Christ when He came to take His seat on the throne and bring peace and bring comfort and bring rest to our souls. And so we'll start in Matthew 11. Let's read there first. Jesus was a master at telling stories and painting pictures. And he painted a good one here in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right? Now I'm going to flip back to Isaiah 9. We'll read just a couple of verses of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ coming and His kingdom. And we'll see this word again, the promise of rest and peace, and also the removing of a heavy yoke. Verse 2 of chapter 9 in Isaiah reads this way, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You will multiply the nation. You will increase their gladness." Isn't that a good line? "They'll be glad in your presence like people who are rejoicing with the gladness of harvest, like when they divide the spoil of war, victory. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders." So there's that word again. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, I think most everybody in here knows what a yoke is. But just in case you don't, Phil's going to tell us what a yoke is. Would you tell us, Phil? Uh-huh, and it fits usually on two. The purpose sometimes being that there would be a more experienced, either an ox, in this day an ox, or a mule, and would serve as a training yoke for the younger one, okay? And so Jesus immediately paints this picture, and everybody in the crowd knew what He was talking about. They immediately saw. If you've ever traveled out in the countryside or done some of the mountain tours in Appalachia, you may have seen an old barn, and it probably had a yoke, a wooden yoke on the wall. So Jesus is painting this picture. So what's the yoke? What's the context where He's saying, "You're weary. I know you're weary." But He said, if you'll come and yoke yourself with Me, the burden will be light and there will be rest to your soul. And so here's the context in Matthew 11. Jesus is doing good, which is what he came to do. It says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed, who had that heavy yoke of the burden. And at least some of it is attributed to the weightiness or the heaviness of Moses in the law. Because he's telling this story, and then he goes, the next chapter finds the Pharisees coming, and they're watching him. It's like they're hiding, watching to see if they can catch him in some kind of a Moses trickery. And sees, it says, they're watching him to see what he's going to do, and they're criticizing him and his disciples. He said, the Pharisees said, I've noticed that your disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath and eating. Which Moses says, you can't do any work on the Sabbath. And they're walking through the grain fields and rubbing some wheat and having their uncooked bread as their meal. And then they're watching him and they follow him into the temple, and there's a man with a withered hand or something of that sort. Yes, whose hand was withered. And they're just watching. They're in the crowd looking and saying, we're going to catch him this time. And he heals the man, and they're irate. They're actually irate that he did it on the Sabbath. And Jesus' response, of course, was, is it lawful to do good or to do evil? To bless or to ignore a need on the Sabbath? How would you like it if I was your pastor and my job was to follow you around and make sure you did everything just right? That's my job. I'm going to watch you either up front or in the crowd peeking to try to catch you and make sure you keep all the rules. Their whole life was spent keeping the rules. They wanted to be good people. They wanted to do right. They wanted to be a good disciple of Moses, but you're talking about a heavy yoke. Okay? It's a heavy yoke. As a matter of fact, as the gospel began to spread into the Gentiles in the book of Acts, it spread into the Gentile community, the question arose, of course, of how much of Moses' field are we going to make them obey? I mean, are we going to make them become circumcised? And so they had the first big church meeting is found in Acts 15. And it's a great read. And finally, Peter, in his wisdom, stood up and he said, look, he said, why are you trying to put a yoke on these people? He said that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. You're trying to put something on their necks that's never worked, except to produce oppression and heaviness. Anyway, there's your context. Jesus said, hey, I've got a new way to live. Isaiah foretold that he's going to break that yoke. Israel was thinking freedom. They weren't thinking freedom from Moses. They were thinking freedom politically and militarily. They had no idea that Jesus could lift the yoke of religious oppression. They had no idea. But he said, if you'll come to me, slide into my yoke, he says, I can show you the way life is supposed to be lived as the Father has sent me to show you. And he said, it's easy and it's light. Now it's a yoke and it's still a journey. And there's still some sense of order and pathway and boundaries, but he said, it's going to give you life. It's not going to take away from your life. And so this is the context. And I just thought we'd meditate for a minute about the rest for the weary soul, so that when we celebrate the Lord's coming next month, we can just do it all over again and think about how wonderful And we can shout and rejoice like people dividing the spoil and raking in the harvest. So we are participating in a harvest of righteousness. And so this yoke they all understood. And his invitation was to a different way of living that wasn't performance-based, not on what others thought or their own human efforts could produce, but a restful walk with Christ. This has always been God's invitation to a rebellious and disobedient people. He spoke in Isaiah again, in Isaiah 30. He said, In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And then he said, but you would not. I offered you this new way, but you said thanks, but no thanks. And again in Jeremiah, he said, Israel, ask for the ancient path, the good way, and walk in it, and you will find rest. But you said, no, we won't walk in it. And so there's the history of God inviting people into the yoke with him to find rest, whether it's in the old covenant or the new. And the invitation, of course, still remains to us today. So think about it with me for a moment. Rest to your soul. What a wonderful phrase. Rest to your soul. And then Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace. In the world, you'll have some tribulation, but he said, I've overcome the world. You can be happy about that. What do you think his peace is like? It's not complicated. But what the God of all creation says, my peace. I was just trying to think about that phrase, his peace. Well, first of all, walking in the yoke with him, he's at rest because it says he finished his work. He says, I'm done. He says, I finished on the seventh day and I rested from all my works. And he's not worried about keeping everything working. Why? Because it's sustained already by the power of his word. He's at peace with everything he's made, right, in creation, because it's there and it's not going anywhere. He doesn't have to get up this morning to make sure the sun comes up and does what it's supposed to do. The Bible says it's sustained by the word of his power. Everything in his world is at peace because it's working. And he doesn't have to fret over it. And so he's asking you to join him in something that's at peace because it's complete. It's finished. You don't have to worry whether or not his grace is going to be sufficient for you tomorrow or the next day. That is finished. And he's saying, if you'll walk with me, there'll be a rest to your soul because my work is finished from before the foundation of the world. He's finished. All things held in place. That's Hebrews 1:3 by the word of his power. No worries. My peace I offer to you. It's also rest for one who knows the future. Now, if we knew the future, I don't know if it would produce rest, because there will be some issues that would not be pleasant. But Jesus sees that and he sees beyond it. He sees the work that it's producing in you. So he's inviting you to walk with him who sees not just your past, not just today, but tomorrow. He says, get in the yoke with me and we'll walk toward what I already see for you. And that'll bring rest to you. So, doesn't mean it won't be without difficulty or complications. We all know that. But if you understand he's already seen it
And he's inviting you to walk with him toward that, toward what it will accomplish in you,
then rest to your soul. How about right now, are we in the yoke with him? Today. These are good things to think about. Rest for your soul. And so it's walking with him who sees the future. And it's walking with him who does not judge us on our performance like others tend to. One of the things that Isaiah shouts about, and I think it's chapter 11, he says he won't judge by what his eyes see or what his ears hear, which is the only way we know how to do it. But he says he will judge with righteousness. We've talked about this some, about how painful it is when someone misjudges you because they're always outside looking in. You know, we all are always outside looking in. We're never inside looking out at someone else. We're always outside looking in. And we can't see in like he can. And so our judgment is always sight-based and ear-based. Boy, did you hear what they said? Did you hear? He won't judge by what he hears. He won't judge you, and he'll teach you in the yoke to do the same. To judge with righteousness. And so that keeps us off the guilt train. All of you who are trying to work it out and do right and be perfect and, oh, I just didn't do good today. I was a bad mom today. I didn't spend enough time with my children. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And you're pulling out of the yoke and getting on the guilt train. There is no condemnation to those who are in the yoke with Christ. And so that's where we find a walk that's, to borrow the title of an author of a book called Rhythms of Grace.
Isn't that a great line? The rhythms of grace. Like a runner, our cross-country people aren't here this morning. But when a runner finds his groove or his stride, it's a rhythm of grace. It's not effortlessly because there's energy going into it. But a runner can tell when they hit that stride. I'm in it. I'm in the rhythms of grace. And that's where rest comes to our souls. The rhythms of grace. Find your stride in the rhythms of grace. Life is a rhythm. It has different rhythms. But if we can stay yoked to Him, we can find our stride. Think with me about these things as you sing your Christmas carols and as you read your verses of the promise of Christ coming, bringing to us not only the promise to lift the heavy yoke, but to exchange it for one that is light and easy, where rest comes to our souls. That's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Rest for your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Read it and celebrate it with me in this season as we rejoice in the one who has graciously given us all things for life and godliness through his unfailing love. So let's stand and celebrate the word of God this morning. Come unto me, all who are weary. We all get weary. And most of the time it's because we're trying to do something in our own strength or just misreading the things around us. But what a wonderful word picture for Christ to give people who were just worn out trying to perform with people watching you all the time. That was their ministry. That was the leadership of Israel's ministry. To make sure the people did it just right. If you didn't, you got to go back and do it again.
wearisome journey. That's why the scripture says encourage one another today. Not judge and watch one another, but encourage one another daily as you see the day approaching. All right? Well, God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for the promise of life in Christ. I pray that we could see that the eyes of our heart would be opened and we could know more and more the beauty, the wonder, the excellence of what You have offered us in Jesus Christ. So that our rejoicing would be more and more like men when they divide the spoils and reap the harvest of bountiful things. That our joy would increase. And that the burden of our weariness would be lifted. And we'd find our stride in the rhythms of grace in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Who said, "Come unto Me, everybody who is simply weary. And walk with Me. Walk with Me as I see the future. Learn of Me. As I have rested from my own work. As I have done the will of the Father." So Lord, engage these things in our thinking in this wonderful season as we prepare to celebrate Your coming. And I'm glad, Lord, we can do it. Not just annually, but all the time. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to once again reaffirm that our faith and our hope is in You. As Frankie and I were saying earlier, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Bless this people. Grant Your grace to our brothers who are traveling and investing and sowing and giving this morning. Bring them safely home. And let us rejoice together in Your good work. Amen. Amen.